الله. أما بعد، when the rain started and it became heavy, I was thinking perhaps we may not be able to sit today. So I studied behind a bit, looking at the possibility of we sitting today. But one of the brothers called me on the phone and said, look, we want you to come. So although the rain was up and a bit much, we have to come. And I left my book firstly because they did not become wet from the rain. And then one of the ulama was Al-Imam Shabukuni. Sulaiman al-Shabukun. He was one of the scholars of Islam, one of those from whom Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal took knowledge. It was reported that one of the reasons for his reporting weak narration was it got rained while he was walking and he had to use his back to protect his book from getting wet, but they still got wet. Aside the issues he had about fisk, Shabukuni had issues of fisk with him. To the extent that Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah in Siyaru al-Amin Nubala was saying that the way al-Zahabi was strict with criticizing the reporters of hadith, he wished that he employed the same strictness regarding his own personal piety, because he was said not to be a pious person, even though he had knowledge. So ulama, the scholars of hadith, says matruqul hadith. The next stage before mawdu, because those who fabricate reports and ascribe it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he is not from those groups of people, but he was from amongst the people who had fisk, despite the fact that they had knowledge. He was dropped. They never report and authenticate his report, despite the fact that he was so knowledgeable that the likes of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal took knowledge from him. He was not considered from amongst those who should transmit deen, especially when his conditions became known. Because initially it was not known that he had some fisk with him. One of the things for which he was despised and disgraced was playing with children and touching their bodies. May Allah protect us. So he was rejected. Matruk. May Allah protect us. Last week, when we read the hadith on Al-Ya'juj, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, or Ya'juj and Ma'juj, one of our brothers, unfortunately not here now, asked who was the companion who saw the gate, the blockage of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. We remember that question, so. And I mentioned that the hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari, that one of the companions told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he saw the sad of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And the Prophet asked him, alayhi salatu wa salam, what did you see? He explained what he saw. And the Prophet said, فَقَدْ رَأَيْتَهُ, you have actually seen it. So he asked at question time, who was that companion? And I said, I don't know who the companion was. That the hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari without the mention of the companion. It was just said that he was one of those min ahli al-Madinah, from a man from amongst the people of Medina. And it said that he says, qala lin-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if he told the Prophet, then he's a companion even when we don't know his name. And for this, not knowing the name of a companion, when we are sure that he was a companion, la yadur. They say, jahalatu sahabi la tadur. Not knowing who actually was a companion who reported a hadith, it does not harm the hadith. As long as we can say it was a companion, there is no problem. And he would not have been a companion if he was not asking the Prophet ﷺ. For every Muslim who would ask the Prophet a question and die upon Islam was a companion. So jahalatu sahabi la tadur, aw sahaba la tadur. Not knowing who actually a companion was who reported a hadith, it does not bring blame or blemish to that hadith. But the person reporting from the companion was Al-Imam Qatada ibn Li'ama al-Sadusi. Qatada ibn Li'ama al-Sadusi was a tabi'i, one of the students of Anas ibn Malik, who lived with him in Basra. Qatada is al-Sadusi al-Basri. Now, so he was the one who reported the hadith, and he reported it what they refer to as al-an'ana, saying an. When somebody says a hadith and says an, we say he reported it what? Al-an'ana. And he is not from the group of those who, when they report with an'ana, such reports are relied upon. Qatad, when he makes an'ana, because he is, as they call him, kafirul irsali wa tadlis. Most of the times he reports narrations directly quoting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, or not mentioning a missing link between himself and the person from whom he is reporting. Or that he will report a hadith from his sheikh when he did not actually hear that hadith from the sheikh. He's a student of the sheikh, but he's reporting a hadith from the sheikh. But that particular hadith is reporting from the sheikh. He did not hear it from the sheikh. A student reporting from a teacher what he did not hear from the teacher. All these things were known in Islamic history. Who heard what, when, where, how? The science is so distinct. The science of verification of hadith from the Prophet Muhammad, so clear, straightforward. So Qatada was known to have reported from amongst the companions Anas ibn Malik. He was an imam. So he reported from Anas ibn Malik. His reports are authentic from Anas, especially when they come from Al-Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj. Likewise, his report, one and only report from Abdullah ibn Sarjis, a companion. Abdullah ibn Sarjis was a companion. So the correct thing, inshallah, is that there was connection between Qatada and Abdullah ibn Sarjis. And the only hadith he reported from him, that hadith is authentic. Although some of the ulama, like Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, were of the opinion that his report from Abdullah ibn Sarjis were not authentic. He said that Anas ibn Malik, that Qatada ibn Li'ama did not report hadith from anyone amongst the companions except Anas ibn Malik. But others like Al-Imam Abu Zur'at al-Razi, Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Majini, Abu Hatim al-Razi, and others insist that the report of Qatada from Abdullah ibn Sarjis are connected and authentic. So Qatada reported from Anas, he also reported from Abdullah ibn Sarjis. In this case, he reported with an an'ana, and he did not mention the name of the companion. He reported from a companion whose name he did not mention, and then he reported with an an'ana, what they call an'ana, saying an in the report. So because of this, Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he was silent on it. He didn't say anything. Although Al-Imam al-Bukhari, I think we should clarify that too. Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned that report in his book. So you may wonder, but they say everything in Sahih Bukhari is Sahih. The ahadith, every hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Because the ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari have grade. And not all of them are at the same level. This is coming closer to specifics now of knowledge. So there are some they call ulama refer as mu'allaqat. Mu'allaqat of al-Bukhari. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah was between 230 something to early 300. So if he is reporting from a companion like Ibn Abbas, who died in late 70 AH, you see between 70 and 241 is a lot of gap. So he could say, call Ibn Abbas, as he was regularly saying in Kitab al-Tafsir. Call Ibn Abbas. So you will see it's like he hung Ibn Abbas up without mentioning the connection between himself and Ibn Abbas. This hanging, ulama refer to as what? At-ta'liq. And they refer to that kind of a hadith as what? Mu'allaq. A hadith that is connected up. The ladder with which you climb is removed. Because amongst them, the ladder is the isnad. So between Bukhari and Ibn Abbas, like they say, is mafawiz, a huge gap. So he would say, call Ibn Abbas, for example. And he made that a lot in Kitab al-Tafsir. He would say, call Ibn Abbas, without mentioning the isnad. These kinds of ahadith are referred to as what? Mu'allaqah. If you find a kind of hadith like this, mu'allaq in Sahih al-Bukhari, it is not part of the Sahih al-Bukhari that we intend, that the ulama intend when they say every hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari is sahih. I hope you get this point. If you find a hadith like this, where al-Bukhari will say in Sahih al-Bukhari inside the book, he will say, call Ibn Abbas. It is not like the one he will say, for example, Haddathani Muhammad ibn Maslama ibn Qanab al-Qanabi Haddathani Malikun Haddathani Nafi'un Haddathani ibn Umar قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. This is a typical Bukhari isnad. So indeed, because his teacher was Ibn Qanab al-Qanabi, he was his teacher, who was a student of Al-Imam Malik, who was a student of Nafi, who was a student of who? Ibn Umar, who took from who? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So you see there is a ladder here. He connected off between himself and who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is different from mu'allaq, the one that he hung without telling us the link. And when he says Qal Ibn Abbas, he did not intend to tell us in Sahih al-Bukhari, in his book Al-Jami'u Sahih al-Musnad, he did not intend us to tell us the statements of Ibn Abbas. From amongst the reasons, the conditions for compiling Sahih al-Bukhari, it wasn't because he wants to tell us report from Ibn Abbas, no. If you see a report from Ibn Abbas in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's either that report is a report that has a ruling to have come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because such reports mawkufun lahu hukm al-raf'a, a hadith that is mawkuf, actually said by a companion, or he has a ruling of a statement that was made by the Prophet Muhammad. For example, Ibn Abbas telling us what will happen towards the end of time. Where did he hear it? How does Ibn Abbas know the future? He doesn't. So ulama will say he would not have said that from what? From ra'i. So if we see those kind of hadiths, we say, lahu hukmu raf. So if you find that, it may take a number in Sahih al-Bukhari. But just a statement that comes from him, or a statement that describes his action, Ibn Abbas is an example, all other companions inclusive, and the Tabi'un and those below them, those kinds of reports do not form the source, the crux of Sahih al-Bukhari. So like the Mu'allaq we were talking about,
where Al-Bukhari rahimahullah will just say, call Ibn Abbas, without mentioning the connection between Ibn Abbas and himself. And we know between them that it's over about 200 years. So how did he hear the report? He will not tell us. So they will say, Allaqahu al-Bukhari. Bukhari hung it. Now, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, before writing Fathul Bari, before compiling Fathul Bari, he wrote a book, Ulama, that he called Tazliq al-Ta'liq, connecting the mu'allaqat. You know, ta'liq is hanging. That is connecting those ahadith that were what? Hung. So if Bukhari rahimahullah says, call Ibn Abbas, he will go and search for it. Who are the links between Ibn Abbas and who? Bukhari. And he will tell us. So he called it tazliq al-ta'liq, connecting the disconnected. So he helped us connect it in 5 volumes. Hafiz ibn Hajar. He did that before writing Fathul Bari. So that's why you hardly find a hadith mu'allaq or asar mu'allaq in Sahih Bukhari without when you return to Tajweed from where Ibn Hajar was supplying Fathul Bari. He was supplying Fathul Bari, the asanid for his mu'allaqat. He was supplying it from where? Tajliq al-Ta'liq. Do you get this point? Why all these explanations? Why all of these explanations? The reason is that this hadith we are discussing is from the mu'allaqat of who? Al-Bukhari. It's not from the usul of Al-Bukhari. The usul of Al-Bukhari, every hadith is sahih. But from the mu'allaqat of Al-Bukhari, some may be sahih, some may not be sahih. If you go to Fathul Bari, or you go to Tazliq al-Ta'liq by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, you will find it there. You find a link, and then you find a discussion of the authenticity of that link. So what Ibn Hajar did in Al-Fath regarding this hadith was to gather all similar reports. Regarding this report that a companion saw the gate of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, he gathered the report. Likewise, Al-Imam Badruddin Al-Ayni in Umdatul Qari, he gathered the report. Fortunately or unfortunately, Al-Hafiz gathered it and left it like that. So we have 2 options. One option, you sit down and do the dirasa of the isnad yourself. Here, sometimes people may say, who will do the dirasa? If you don't know it, keep quiet. People know it, and they do it, and they will do it. Because it's a science on its own, and they have the resources to do it, they will do it. If people do it, they tell us the ruling. The ruling of this hadith, mu'allaq, is so simple. So one option, go back to Fathul Bari, do the dirasa if you can. It's like I said, go to the ocean barbage, go and dive inside and swim if you can. It doesn't mean there are not those who will go and dive because they can swim. From where I have come from, there are people who swim in ocean. 5-year, 6, 7-year-old boys. In Niger Delta, they swim in the ocean. Wow, why? Because they have been taught how to. So the one who has been taught how to do such dirasa, if he does such dirasa, it's like the doctor to tell us, we open the wound now. They say, open it. I've heard them talking about it. 2 doctors were discussing. Open the wound, then bring the child, then tie something, as if they are talking about a fowl or a goat. But they will speak it like that because it is something they have learned over the years. They know about it. It still doesn't mean they can't make mistakes, even if they are professors. But not making mistakes is not their basic ruling. The basic ruling is that they have been taught to be able to do it. They have the resources to do it. and they are in the mental position to be able to do what? To do it. The same thing applies to this, because it's one of the branches of knowledge. So we have alternative one, dirasa. People do dirasa of Afanis. I didn't do that. I didn't do it. Second alternative we have is to make istighna with aqwalu ahlil ilm, seeking help here and there from basic things of knowledge. So we'll look for two of them that I can remember on this issue. Some others can remember others, but I remember two. The first of them is from Al-Imam Al-Bukhari himself regarding his book Sahih Al-Bukhari. Ula Ma'rifatu is asked, Jazm Al-Bukhari in the Ta'liq. When Al-Imam Al-Bukhari makes Ta'liq, he will make Jazm. Tiqal Ibn Abbas. The most likely thing about his Jazm is that Athar is Sahih. Is that Hong report is what? Because it is like saying qala, he actually said, being affirmative in the presentation of the report. He, Bukhari, being affirmative in the way he presents his report indicates some level of reliability of that report. He mentioned this report of the jazm. But jazm itself is not an absolute way of determining whether the isnad is sahih. Because ulama find out that there are some reports that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah actually made jazm from amongst his mu'allaqat that is generally and widely believed to be authentic. And after serious study, they find out that the mu'allaq report about which he made an affirmative statement was what? Was daif. But in most of the cases, the jazm of Al-Bukhari indicates some level of seha, reliability of that hadith. So we take that on one hand, because he made jazm. The second thing of knowledge is enough. We make with the statements of ulama regarding issues like this. Is that of the lawyer of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. One of our teachers referred to him as the lawyer of Al-Bukhari. If you have a question you want to ask in Sahih al-Bukhari, you go and ask Ibn Hajar in Al-Fajr. He will give you the answer. What was that? Ulama say, Sukut Ibn Hajar. When Ibn Hajar brings a hadith in Fath al-Bari and remains silent on that hadith, ulama say most of the time it is because he considers that hadith to be what? Hasan. Al-Aqal. At least sound. And in this case also, Ibn Hajar has remained silent. Not just silent, he brought other reports from other sources about the same matter that companion. That was why in one of the reports, the first one we mentioned, when he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what he saw, the Prophet said to him, فَقَدْ رَأَيْتَهُ, you have seen it. In another report, he says, Sadaqta, you have said the truth. So these are some of the alfaz in the wording, the version of this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So which would indicate some high level of reliability, even if we cannot say emphatically at this moment that hadith from Qatada, from one person amongst the companions, is a hadith that is a sahih or hasan. We can't say that they just at the moment, but we can leave our minds to some rest with these two things from Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar until we can make a dirasa or find a clear-cut statement. No, there is a book. أنيس الساري في تخريج أحاديث فتح الباري. This book was published in, I think, 2006. I bought a copy And one of our teachers, Mala Muhammad Awal Al-Albani, when he started the Sahih Al-Bukhari, was reading before he died, he took it from me. And since then, I've not been able to get the book. He took the book. Otherwise, the ruling of this hadith will be in that book, because that is the job of that person who wrote that book, to search for the ahadith that Ibn Hajar depended on in Fath al-Bari and give a ruling on the hadith. He named the book Anis al-Sari fi Takhrij Ahadith fi Fath al-Bari. If we have it, we could go to it. We would find a ruling for this hadith. Aside him, I only know two persons who have the book, but perhaps we can get other persons. So perhaps when we have a particular affirmative statement on that hadith, then we can say, or when any of us, Allah gives him the ability to do the dirasa of the Afani that Ibn Hajar mentioned in Al-Fath and in Taghlib al-Ta'lib, then we'll be able to have something more affirmative. But at the moment, we hold it with our hands to say that it occurs mu'allakum bil jazm in Sahih al-Bukhari that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by a companion that he saw the gate of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed what the person said after he had heard him describe what he saw of the gate of Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. So until we are able to, someone who has a car previa, the headlamp is on. They should go and turn it off. So when we have a more affirmative statement, we will mention it inshallah. The second issue from our last class was on the side. What kind of alloy does copper form with iron? Because we remember that Dhul-Qarnayn, after melting the hadith, he asked them to get him what? He says they should get him some copper, qitr. He says, ufrid alayhi qitra, I would pour on it qitr. And we promised to find out. All of what I was talking about, they are here. The only thing I didn't also remember to mention was that one of our teachers, Sheikh Samir al-Zuhairi, has a tahqiq of Kitab al-Fitan by al-Imam Nu'aym ibn Hammad. That hadith also occurs in it. Unfortunately, he was also silent on it. He was silent on it too. He didn't talk about it. But when we have the opportunity to speak on the phone, we'll ask questions then, inshallah. Likewise, Badruddin al-Aini also didn't say anything. Anwar al-Kashmiri, who has another shop of Sahih Bukhari, they were all silent on the hadith. Sheikh Tuwajri, Hamoud Tuwajri, he didn't even mention it in his book, Ithaf al-Jama'ah. He didn't mention it. Likewise, the Sheikh Yusuf ibn Abdullah al-Wadi, he was silent. He mentioned it, but he remained silent on it. Yusuf ibn Abdullah al-Wadi, in his book, Ashraf al-Sa'ah. Sheikh Mustafa al-Adawi didn't even mention it at all in his compilation on Ahadith al-Malahim. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sakhawi, in his Al-Qana'ah, Fima Yuhsinu al-Ihata min Ashraf al-Sa'ah, he didn't also talk about it at all. I think those are the things that come to mind at this moment about that. We try to find a ruling, but we have nothing. But we should hold the hadith. It occurs mu'allaqan in Sahih al-Bukhari, in Kitabu Ahadith al-Anbiya. Kitabu Ahadith al-Anbiya. On the Babu Kifsati Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. Babun. We can read it in two ways. With istinaf, Babun Kifsatu Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, or Babu Qisati Ya'juj wa Ma'juj bil Idafa. You can read it in two ways. That's where the hadith comes from. In Kitab Ahadith al Anbiya, or Kitab Ahadith al Anbiya. They are both allowed amongst the ulama. The other issue was a side issue, actually, about what alloy does iron form with copper. Things like that, our ulama will do it. The issue is that these days we are a bit late. They will do it, they will tell us. If in their time they have a way of knowing things like this, they would have written it in their books long ago. They say that it forms what they refer to as a master alloy. The copper forms a master alloy with iron, Fe. And they say the two of them, they form an alloy at relatively lower temperatures. The two, iron and copper, form an alloy at relatively lower temperatures. What will that mean? It will mean that the suffering, the tab that Dhulqarnain and the people will put in to increase the temperature of the system will be reduced. And they will still get a result of forming a blockage against Ya'juj and the Ma'juj. This is the hikmah. If you have any hikmah or reason to connect that finding with the story, it's that it will reduce their body, the temperature of the body of bringing about heat in the system to melt the iron and then the copper to form an alloy together that will be strong enough to prevent Ya'juj and Ma'juj from coming, like Allah said, because He says, فَمَسْتَطَاعُوا لَهُ نَخْبًا. So they were not able to open any way to come from it. It means it's a very strong wedge they made. So if we have any benefit, they made that kind of a wedge with minimum effort because of the composition of the two elements that they employed to form the alloy. I think that's one benefit, inshallah. The third issue was one of the brothers mentioned about the issues of capital punishment for drug pushers, that in countries of the world, including the country Saudi Arabia, where the Sharia is a declared law of the land, that drug trafficking carries a capital punishment. So he mentioned the hadith that where the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned the blood of a Muslim. He says, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا من صلاة. لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا من صلاة. This expression itself is an expression of hadith. لا يحل إلا. It means only these three, no other. Because it is al-istithna'u fi siyaq al-nafi. Tufidu al-haqq. An exception in the context of a negation. It implies restriction. It is a restrictive. It's equal to a restrictive. It restricts the ruling to only these three. You cannot, it is not legal for you to take the life of a Muslim except in these three conditions. But we mention a verse from the Quran in Al-Ma'ida that Allah says, إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ الَّذِينَ يُحَارِبُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَسْعَوْنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَسَادًا أَنْ يُقَتَّلُوا أَوْ يُسَلَّبُوا أَوْ تُقَطَّعَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ أَوْ يُنْفَخْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. We remember this verse, that innama jaza'u alladhina yuharibuna Allah wa rasulahu wa yas'una fil ardi fasada. The reward of those who yuharibuna Allah wa rasulahu, who wage war against Allah and His Messenger, wa yas'una fil ardi fasada, and spread evil on the earth, is that an yuqatalu, they should be committed to die. They should be executed. So we mentioned that drug pushing could go among as-sa'yu fil ardi fil fasad wa yas'una fil ardi fasada, because evil on the earth, and yuqatalu. So this verse indicates that some other things may, apart from those three in the hadith, may form the ruling of execution. And this is the position of many of the ulama too, like Al-Imam Ibn Rajab bin Al-Hanbali and others among the ulama. One example of that is what occurs in Sahih Muslim. It says, man ja'akum aw man ataakum wa amrukum jam'an inda ahadikum faqtuluh. Whoever comes to you when your affairs is joined, that is, you have agreed upon the leadership of one of you over the rest of you, if another person comes and says, no, I'm the leader, I say, kill that second person. And that is not part of the three mentioned in the hadith. In that hadith, three things were mentioned. Cook, it is la yahillu, it is not allowed, except in these three cases. But here it says, kill the second person who comes. So it means this hafur only indicates that the Muslim should be very, very, very careful about taking the life of another human being, especially a Muslim. You must make sure that the life of a Muslim does not go off from your hands. Another example is issues of liwas, homosexuality. The penalty is death. There are other examples of things of death penalty. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali mentioned them, he listed them in his book Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. So it means that hadith is not restrictive. There are other things, as we explained last week, there are other things in the Sharia whose punishment is death penalty. And one of them, of course, is the issue of drug pushing. As we mentioned, that the ulama mentioned it in those countries, and they affirm it, that the ruling is correct. So Allahu Alam. Those are the three things we promised to revisit in subsequent classes that we are revisiting now, except a fourth issue that I have not had any response to give about the knot. What is the name of the knot? Knot leg. I don't have a response to it now. If I have a response to it, inshallah, I will say what I have found out. Allahu Alam. This is also one of the issues. People say, Jazakallahu khairan. Others will say, Ameen wa iyaakum. Others will say, Wa antum fa jazakumullahu khairan. What is correct between the two? There is hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad which establishes the statement wa antum fajazakumullahu khairan, and it occurs in Silsilatu Ahadith Sahiha, if I'm not forgetting the first volume of that book. But some of the brothers raised some issues that deserved going back to the hadith and checking its wording again in view of the issues that they have raised regarding the matter. But I've not been able to, it didn't even occur to me today. Perhaps in our next class, if Allah permits, I will try to do that, inshallah. The fifth point we are supposed to read today is khusufatu salata. Al khusufatu salata. The three, I wouldn't know how to describe whether it is earthquake. Because an earthquake actually only means when the earth quivers, when it shakes. This is earthquake. As the name goes, quake means quivering, shaking. But this khuf means much more than that. It means the earth swallowing what is on top of it. So it's not, it may not even shake. It may just open up and then swallow what is on it. This is al-khasfu. Yes, the swallowing may be preceded by what? Shaking. But it does not end with it. So if you describe this earthquake, you may not have been precise. Because it does not involve just its shaking. Didn't he say, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْعَبْدُ زِلْزَالَهَا? But this is not what it is talking about. It is talking about swallowing up what it shakes. What is on it? When it swallows it, خَسَفَ بِهَا. We remember the story of Qarun in the Quran. Did the earth only shake below Qarun? He said, خَسَفَ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ وَبِدَارِهِ. Allah took him to be swallowed by the earth. So to explain khusuf or khusufat that is intended here as quakes of the earth is not sufficient. It's more than mere quaking. It also involves the earth swallowing what is over it in al-khusuf. This and dukhan, the smoke, tulu al-shams min maghribiha, khuruj dabbatin fil ardi, and ظهور النار التي تحشر الناس بها تحشر الناس بها is the are the points that remain for us to. I might think we should be able to take all these points in a single day because they are connected by the same ahadith. Instead of repeating the ahadith, we could take them all in a single sitting, inshallah. And their details are not so elaborate. There are things that could be discussed. If not for that, I would have just gone on to explain what these kusufat mean and then give the hadith and then proceed to the next issue. But we may not be able to end them all today. So I intend that we take them all in a single day as a piecemeal for a single class, inshallah. Which would mean that the rest of our discussions today should accommodate questions and answers. And also some of our brothers were held back by the downpour. So to be a means of making it available for them also to listen. It is from Sunnah to do that to people. So the Ibn Allah would continue from that, from Al-Khusufa to Salat in our next class, the Ibn Allah. عليكم السلام آمين وانت في كل شيء أنت أعلم به هو يسأل عن حكم استعمال حكم العمل بالأحاديث الضعيفة في فضائل الأعمال هذا معروف مشهور
ضعيف لا 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 يجوز على الصحيح Alaykum salam. He was asking about the ruling on acting, employing, using weak reports in Fadail on the issues of virtues, of good deeds. So I said, he knows the ruling already. We all know when somebody quotes a report and we say the hadith is weak, the meaning is that throw it away. So, Allah Sahih, based on the correct view of the ulama, because there are some amongst the ulama who still depend on some forms of weak report, some forms. I say some forms because they don't depend on mawzu'at, fabricated reports. And mawzu'at are part of da'ifah. They are a part of weak report. Mawzu'at. Somebody can say, mawzu'at are mawzu'at. Al-Sahih, mawzu'at are aspects of weak ahadith. So they are all agreed that we should not depend on mawzu'at. A hadith that was a statement that was a lie was ascribed to the Messenger. There were people who did that.
they were lying and connecting it to the Prophet Muhammad. They will mention one in Hadassani Kaza. That person they mention, he may be a person that's existing, he may be a person that's not existing. They just mention one name. And mention, I say, call a Rasul, Abu Huraira, call a Sami to Rasulullah. They put the lie. There were people whose jobs were these. One of those who did that a lot, the group of people who did that a lot, were people who loved, according to them, ibadah. They liked ibadah. They want people, according to them, like Ibn Abi Maryam. He was asked, why do you fabricate reports and ascribe it to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said he thought that the people are busy with fiqh, and he wants them to be busy with ibadah. So he can bring a hadith and say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, anybody who performs two rakats after Salatul Zuhur, Allah will give him 1,000 women in this dunya, 1,500 in the grave, 2,000 in the day of Qiyamah. So everybody says, Alhamdulillah, what is that praying? And it is a lie. The Prophet did not say that. So when he was told that, did you not remember the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That man kazaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar. Whoever lies to me, lies and ascribes it to me deliberately, let him find a dwelling place in the fire. He says, ma kazabna alayhi. We did not lie against him. Kazabna lahu. We lied for him. May Allah protect us. So there were people like this, that's what I'm just trying to say. And today we still have that. If you carry this book, Fadail al-A'mal, you find narrations like this there. Strange lies ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad. So that's why we say, for example, Jama'at al-Tabligh, when they make their ta'limat, they should use a book like Riyadh al-Salihin. Many of the ulama have made takhrij, tried to check and verify the authenticity of the ahadith in Riyadh al-Salihin. Over 80%, over 90% are authentic ahadith. Those others are weak narrations that form nothing. Da'ifa. I can't remember that there is a mawdu' in Riyadh al-Salihin. So use Riyadh al-Salihin. Don't use Fadail al-A'mal. Fadail al-A'mal has a lot of lies in it. A lot of lies. Things that cannot and should not be attributed to the Prophet Muhammad. Likewise, it has stories that contradict the Aqidah Sahiha of Islam. The authentic creed that was preached, how do we know that it is authentic? Because it is contained in the Quran and it is contained in a hadith that is Sahih. So if a person depends on a hadith or a hadith that are da'ifa and mawdu'a, weak or fabricated, you know if he's not careful, he will be having weak and fabricated beliefs too. If a person depends on weak and fabricated ahadith, the beliefs that he will be having will be weak beliefs and fabricated beliefs too, because the source from where he deducted his beliefs, his ibadat, his worship, his mu'amala, they are weak and fabricated. I can give you many examples of that. Many. Many examples. In the issues of mu'amala, they say when you eat, taste the salt. Which sunnah is that? Who taught us that? When you want to eat, taste salt first. Is that the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad? Alayhi salat. The Prophet did not teach us that. They say when you make salah, make Saban. The one who is performing Salah with Saban has more rewards. The ahadith are fabricated, mawdu'a. The ahadith that those persons who wear Saban when they pray, they have more rewards than those others who are not wearing Saban. The ahadith are fabricated. Some say the more the cowl, that is the tongue of the Saban, the more the reward. There is hadith, but it is fabricated. So if you depend on fabricated reports, your ibadah, your worship will be what? Fabricated worship. Worship that some people sat down and arranged. What did he say?
هل أنبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا كو الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون.
Should I tell you the greatest losers in this dunya? ضل سعيهم. All their efforts are wasted. This is not from Allah and His Messenger. See, if a person is doing something that Ibn Abi Maryam sat down, or people like him, there were a lot of them. Muhammad ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi was one of them. Liar. Who will fabricate reports and ascribe it to the Prophet Muhammad? So is it the deen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that person is doing, or the deen of Ibn Abi Maryam wa yani man ala shaklatihi aw ala shakli?
So we should only depend on authentic report. When you depend on authentic report, your ibadah will be sound. The way women perform salah, the Jama'atu Tabligh, they say the women should clap their legs. No report, no hadith. Sahih. All weak narration. The best of those reports are reports from Tabi'u. And they are even da'ifa. That when a woman prays, she should close her leg like this. And fold her leg. When she makes ruku, that's the way she should be. All of these don't have any basis in the sunnah. So, we should not... People should not be depending on things that are weak. Last week we were saying that everything has it. Everything you find sahih, you find da'if. You find sahih, genuine, sound. You find da'if, weak and non-genuine. In fact, presidents of the world, you find a sahih president and you find a da'if president. Everything that is sahih, there is da'if. This is from the aspect of aql, intelligence, to make us understand that we should drop da'ifa and stop acting upon them. But I said some kinds of weak ahadith. Some ulama depend on some kinds of weak ahadith. Some ulama depend on some kinds of weak ahadith. That itself is a weak position. Some ulama depend on some kinds of weak ahadith, and that dependence on some kinds of weak ahadith itself is a weak position. Like what they refer to as marasi. Some depend on it, like al-malikiyah. That's why when you open Muwatta Imam Malik, you find a lot of marasi. Marasilu Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. This is another issue. Say it is the mursal of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. The correct view itself is that it should not be depended upon. That is the position of al-Imam al-Shafi'i, al-Imam al-Bayhaqi. Unfortunately, when people want to depend on the marasil of Sa'id, a tabi'i, they say that statement was made by al-Imam al-Shafi'i Muhammad ibn Idris. But it was al-Imam al-Shafi'i himself that said, no, don't. So they misquote him. The one who clarified his statement is من أعلم الناس بأقوال الإمام الشافعي الإمام أبو بكر البيهقي. He explained what الشافعي was talking about. So things like this, مراسيل, people depend on مراسيل of some people that are essentially weak. They say because the proximity to it being authentic is very small. It's very likely that it is authentic. It's still not authentic. What is a mursal hadith? And why do the scholars of hadith say that a hadith mursal is not sahih? What is a mursal hadith? The like of which we say is contained in which book? Muwatta Imam Malik. What is the meaning of hadith mursal? And why do the ulama say the correct view is that mursal itself is da'if? Why do they say that? And then, why is it that we have a lot of marasil in Muwatta? Does it mean that Muwatta Imam Malik is not a book to rely upon? Three issues.
The fourth issue, what is the meaning of mursal? Mursal ulama says, ma rawahu tabi'iyyu marfu'an. Ma rawahu at-tabi'i aw tabi'i marfu'an. What a tabi'i reports from the Prophet Muhammad. That is mursal. You know tabi'i, the student of a sahaba. He wasn't alive when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was alive. Yes, you say Prophet said, Prophet did, Prophet did. You know there's a missing link. Where did he hear it from? Because we don't know where he heard it from. That will take us to our next issue. Since we now know what a mursal is. Because we don't know where he took it from. And one of the conditions of ahadith sahiha is that every person in the isnad must be what? Must be known, not just known, must be known to the udul, reliable people in their deen. And muskinun, they must be known to the people of itqan, people of bab, and people of what? Adala. Every person in the chain of report of a hadith, they must be known to the people of Adala, trust and deen. Trust and deen, what does that mean? Al-Islam wal-ilmu bi-adam mufassikin. Al-Islam, we must know everybody must be Muslim. Every reporter of hadith must be a Muslim. والعلم بعدم مفسق and clear cut knowledge that this person is not a fasik. We must know that he's a Muslim, and we must know, we must be certain that this person, he does not commit a sin. There's nothing, a major sin. For example, somebody shaving his beard now. To shave a beard is mufasik, something that makes somebody be a sinful Muslim. So when you shave your beard, it is being sinful. This kind of a person, if you lived in the times where ahadith were collected, if you have 1 billion hadith, they will not take it from you. Because you are a sinful, the person is a sinful individual. Why is it that they will not take report from an individual that is sinful? Why? Because a sin does not make us be comfortable that he is a pious person. It does not make us feel comfortable that he cannot tell a lie. But when you see that somebody, it doesn't mean that somebody who keeps a beard. That's why it's not just all about the beard. Anything of sin. For example, a person who is known not to go to the masjid for come to salawat is from the things that makes a person to be a fasik. Or a person who divorces a woman and throws her out of the house, not allowing her to make iddah, is one of the things that, oh, this person, even if he has beard to the heaven, this sin he's committing is a mufassiq. It makes somebody to become a fasiq. So this kind of a person, oh, don't talk about somebody who is making his bath. Or don't talk about somebody who mixes freely with women. His hands are not clean with women. If they live in the times of the early Muslims, it is now that we Muslims who now start here. The person knows how to read Quran. He cannot be more than eligible that Al Imam Shazakuri. Yet they dropped the reports of Shazakuri. You will not find his report in Kutub al-Sitta. They dropped his report. They dropped his report. Shazakuri. Sulaiman. Ibn Dawood. Abu Dawood Shazakuri. Abu Sulaiman. So we must know everybody to be a person of deen. We must also be sure that he is a person that can tell what he heard. If he heard something, he can tell us as he heard it. In two ways. Either by the fact that he can't memorize it, he wrote it down. So if you tell me, what did they say in Halqa? He can pick his book and read it to you. Ulama refer to this as what? Ad-dabt bil kitaba. Or dabtul kitab. That is preserving text by way of what? Writing it down. So you may not memorize the whole of Sahih Bukhari, but you may have it down in your book. I have it here. Not just that. You may not have memorized the entirety of the Quran, but you have it. You can have access to it. Double. Now, those people whose report, those people who are known to commit particular fisk, their reports have prohibited abadan. Al-matrufu, matrufun abadan, fisqa ida hadithiya. But these people, maybe the man, one day the book got into water, and then he cannot use it again. They say, okay, tell us what you heard from Abu Huraira. And then he brings it out. It's starting like this. It's starting like that. So you see, his dumb is the apple of his ability to report exactly, precisely what he heard. It was weak. Or, the man is such brilliant that whatever you tell him, he perceives he's recorded it. So it took a lot of time. It's taking time already. The point is that Hadith Mursal is a hadith that a tabi'i reported quoting from the Prophet Muhammad. The second point is that it is rejected because one of the conditions for accepting a hadith to be sahih or hasan is that every individual in the chain must be what? Must be known, not just known, they must be known to be trustworthy and what? Reliable in what they report. The third condition is that there must be connection. We must know everybody. Ittisal al-sanad. So it is this issue of ittisal, this shirk of ittisal that is missing in hadith mursal. So that is why hadith mursal is also da'if. The third question, without saying the rest of the thing, is, are we now saying that Muwaffaq Imam Malik is not a book that should be relied upon? We are not saying that. Despite the fact that Muwaffaq has a lot of marasil, and marasil are za'ifa. Why are we not saying that? Is it because you love Imam Malik and you don't want to say that what he did, or the book also? That is not the reason. The reason is that Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barri al-Namri al-Qurtubi rahimahullah in his book at some heat, he did a research on all the marasil. The book is in 25 volumes at some heat. All the marasil of Muwaffaq Imam Malik, and he brought out their asanid that they are not marasil. Do you get my point? The missing link between the tabi'i and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He brought them out. So when you see Malik making a hadith and making it, reporting it in the aspect, in the form of an irsal, know that the wusul, the wasul, the connected report occurs where? In at some heed of who? Ibn Abdul Barri al-Maliki. So that is why we say, although you will see it as mursal in Muwaffaq, it actually occurs as mutasil where? In at some heed. So that is why it is a knowledge-based matter. So that's why we are not saying, hey, don't read Muwaffaq again, as we said for Fadailul A'mal. Don't say, Malikin, you want that? No, it's a knowledge-based matter. As for Fadailul A'mal, one of the ulama wrote a book to say it contains a lot of fabricated reports and all of these. So one of the scholars amongst them, amongst Jama'at al-Tabligh, he wrote an entire book on that in about 500 pages, defending that, yes, what is wrong about using hadith that is mawdu'? What is wrong about that? And he titled the book, تحقيق المقال في تخريج أحاديث فضائل الأعمال. تحقيق المقال في تخريج أحاديث فضائل الأعمال. That is what the author was trying to prove in about 400 pages. May Allah protect us. But for Ibn Abdul Barri al-Namri, he is trying to prove that, yes, the ahadith that Malik brought are like this, but this is like Ibn Hajar did for the Mu'allaqat of Sahih al-Bukhari. So that is why we will say, read Muwatta, rely on Muwatta, but don't rely on Fadailul Amal. So knowledge based matter. May Allah make us understand better than we try to explain. I'm trying, it's like I call a doctor now, tell me how you do surgery. What will he say? He say, you just open the stomach, you just cut it, and then you bring out the child, and then you sew it. When he says sew it, what will you think? You think like it's like pick a needle and a doctor. If anybody does that, he would have committed murder. So suicide, as the case may be. So I've just tried to simplify it so that we can understand what we are talking about and have a view of it. These things are far much more detailed than what I am saying here. But I beg Allah to make us understand better than it has been said. Alaykum as-salam. We really have overspent our time, but no problem. Alaykum as-salam. Ameen wa antum fadilatun. The correct view about pregnant women and breastfeeding women who cannot fast is alfidia. They should feed a fasting person in lieu. Not just make fidia. Some say they will make fidia and then they will make qadha. This is the position of the Hanafiya, but it's a wrong view. The correct view, inshallah, is that they should only make fidia and not make a qadha. Why? Because both fidya and qadha are both aspects of making qadha. They are both aspects of paying back. So why tell them to pay back twice? Do we understand? Making fidya is one of the ways of making up. Making qadha is one of the ways of making up. So why does the Sharia, or why will the Sharia require them to make up in two different ways? So the correct thing is that they make fidya. The same ruling applies to old men and women. And that's why ulama use the verse wherein Allah says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتَيْقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ. So that's what they mean. يُتَيْقُونَهُ means when they fast, they have difficulty fasting. A woman breastfeeding and fasting is difficult on her. A woman pregnant and fasting is difficult on her. فَفِدِيَةٌ طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ. So in that case, they will make fidya. And then he says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. So they should do it, the fidya. It's easier for them. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. الله أعلم. عليكم السلام. Okay. On your behalf. To give people money to feed people on your behalf, if you are sure that they will do it. If you are sure that they will do it. Inshallah. Now, I mean one. Reading books like Milestones by Sayyid Qutb, Let Us Be Muslim, This Is Our Path, or This Is Our Way, Message of Islam. Those are books that we read well. But I would not encourage our younger brothers to read those books. Don't read them.
You see, that's why there are some things that when government does it, it will remove some problems. This is agitation for what many of the people do that we read and hear about today. They pick them from those books. They pick them from those books. So some of those things need to be met with appropriate intellectual warfare to get the people to understand that Islam is not a religion of violence and turbulence, because that is what those books imbue in young people. If you just get busy about telling a man how to be a president, telling a man how to rule as a president, without telling him what he needs to do legally to become a president, you may be causing him harm. You tell a man how to spend money. It is one of the evils why most of our younger sisters these days don't stay in marriage. They are watching films. In the film, they see a man in a big house, in a flat, with chairs, cars. The cars they drive in films are not small, small cars, okay? So they think that life should be like that. They take that, say, okay, this is how life should be, no problem. As a woman, sit down in the house, the husband will bring everything for you. There should be air condition in your house. It gives them false impression of life. So when they finally get into the house of a brother, they can't believe that. What do you mean? You mean you can't provide me a car? Brother, you mean you can't take me to Dubai? For every cloth she buys, she wants a hijab, a shoe that matches, and a niqab. I'm not speaking from hearsay. A brother told me, complaining, that after buying foodstuffs and filling his house with food, he gives his wife 10,000 naira. Take whatever you like to do with it, do it. And she's complaining that it's small. She's not going anywhere. 10,000 naira, some brothers earn 10,000 naira per month here. So when I asked the sister, one of the things she said, Ustaz, I said, when you got married, what did you say you agreed to give yourself as mahar? She said, Ustaz, I told him he'll build a house for me, and he agreed. I smiled. He said, but now he has broken all the covenants, all the agreements. I smiled. So I asked her, did he himself, is he living in a rented apartment? Oh, he's living in an apartment that he built. How can a man who is living in a rented apartment promise you to build a house for you as mahar? So the brother now said, when I give her 10,000 naira, she's not comfortable with it. What does she mean? And Ustaz, do you know I'm still paying the debt of our marriage? He married me. He's still paying the debt of the issues of marriage. Meanwhile, the man is still in our house. Where did she see house from? From Nollywood, or the Hollywood? Or Ghana Wood? It's deception. Deceive yourself. There are amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad women who did not have jilbab. Jilbab. One, they don't have. Even on the day of Eid.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Ummu Atiyah, he ordered that all the women should be brought out for Salatul Eid. This woman asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِحْدَانَا لَيْسَتْ لَهَا جِلْبَاب. There are some of us that do not have jilbab. On the day of Eid. The Prophet said, some of us, the woman said, some of us don't have jilbab. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لِتُلْبِسْهَا أُخْتُهَا مِنْ جِلْبَابِهَا. لِتُلْبِسْهَا أُخْتُهَا مِنْ جِلْبَابِهَا. Let her sister borrow, let her wear from the jilbab of her sister. Let her wear from the jilbab of her sister. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar says he has two meanings. لِتُلْبِسْهَا أُخْتُهَا مِنْ جِلْبَابِهَا. Let the two sisters put their head inside one jilbab. Wallah, the two of them should wear, put their head together and they should be going to Eid. Eid, Salatul Eid. That is one explanation. The second explanation, she should borrow from another sister who has jilbab. On which day? I'm sure those were not the women asking their husbands to build houses for them at Muhur. So I find out that one of the reasons why the marriages are not staying now is that the women have their minds inside Suraya while their husbands are on top of Asara. Suraya is, among the Arabs, is one of the farthest stars. And Sara is the edge. The women have their hearts inside the star. Oh! And the men are just living on planet Earth. Will the marriage work? There is nothing that man will do to the woman that he will pass 50% with her. We all have parents. We have parents who have marriages of 55 to 60 years. Was it marriage of chicken and indomie? I'm just trying to say back, come back, ikhwa. I'm trying to say that what people read and see impacts their mentality. So one of the books people have read that has impacted their mentality and make them become harakiyun are these books. People like Said Qutb. When I mentioned Fi Zilal al-Quran, it's Fi Ma'rad al-Rajj. I mentioned him in the context of refuting what he said. When he said that Ya'juj and Ma'juj had already come out from the cave where Allah locked them up. He said, no, that is wrong. It was in that context that I mentioned Sayyid Qutb's book. Sheikh Rabi al-Madkhali has an entire book refuting the statement, the excesses of Sayyid Qutb in his tafsir called Fi Zilal al-Quran. Some of those statements involve statements of insult against Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Direct insults against people like Uthman ibn Affan, referring to them as foolish people. Think statements like these, weakly. Statements like that of insult. Recently, although I've not read this second work, I just got it less than 2 months ago in Medina. One of the scholars also compiled another series of errors of Sayyid Qutb in addition to what Sheikh Rabi mentioned in his book. The problems that you find that are fundamental problems in that tafsir called Fi Zilal al-Quran. So don't encourage people to read such books. Books of Sayyid Qutb, Abu al-A'la al-Mawdudi and all of these. If the person is not very well grounded, able to distinguish between the seed and the chaff, we will not encourage our younger brothers to read such books. The first book they should read books like Kitab al-Tawheed that will tell them Tawheed of Islam. Because if you want to preach Islam to people, it is not the statement of Sayyid Qutb you will preach. You preach Islam itself. And the basis of Islam is what? Tawheed. So they should learn Tawheed. They should learn, read books on it. After that, they should read books on wudu, tahara generally speaking, and salah. Because that is the next most important thing in Islam. After Tawheed, salah. After Tawheed, salah. And then after that, they could read books like Riyadus Salihin. It's in Yoruba, it's in English, it's in Arabic. Anyone Allah makes possible for you to read. Read them. Be familiar with Riyadus Salihin. Be familiar with it. To the extent that try to be able to memorize it if you can. Riyadus Salihin. You find issues of adab, manner, etiquette. What do you do? What should you not do? How to seek repentance, forgiveness, and being thankful, you know, being reliant on Allah, all of this. How do you do it? You will find reports from the Prophet that will guide you about these affairs. So this should be the foundation. If you find somebody to be able to teach you the Quran, learn the Quran, how to read the Quran correctly, so that you can perform Salah correctly. So these are basic things that the young Muslim needs. And this is what Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barri referred to as what? Khassatul Iman wal Islam. Referred to them as what? Khassatul Islam wal Iman. The basic foundations of Islam and Iman. To learn. So when he learns that, that is when he starts memorizing the Quran, learning Arabic. If a person comes to you today, I want to learn Islam. Don't teach him Durus Ulugha Arabiya first. So that you don't send him back to where he's coming from. Because he has not known the need why he has to learn Durus Ulugha Arabiya. Why should he learn the Arabic language? He doesn't know. When he learns Tawheed, he will not know that, hey, so I have a long way to go. He will not start talking about the journey. But when he starts with Arabic, when he gets tired, he will run away. Baba always says, they are Salikyo. Why did they Salikyo? They Salikyo because it is Arabic they introduced to them first. Nahul Wad. See, it is trouble. Even amongst the people who already have Tawheed, who want to be grounded in Arabic, and Nahul Wad is not a good book to start with. It's not as easy as people think to start it with a beginner. There are other better books. Simplified in their approach. So when they try to learn in fa'il marfu wa alamatu rafi'ihi as-sammatu zahira yada wa alamatu nasbihi yada wa jarihi yada wa jazmihi, you say ismu la yasarif, this one that jazmihi rafi'ihi will not work. The man becomes tired of it. So the Prophet Muhammad he said in a hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, says عَلِّمُ النَّاسَ أُمُورَ دِينِهِ عَلِّمُ النَّاسَ أُمُورَ دِينِهِ. Teach the people the affairs of their religion. يَسْفِرُوا وَلَا تُعْفِرُوا. That is the beginning of that hadith. يَسْفِرُوا وَلَا تُعْفِرُوا. Make things easy for them. Don't make things difficult. وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. Give them glad tidings. Things that will attract them to come into Islam. Don't tell them things and do things that will make them do what? Run away from Islam. Let me quickly mention one and try to stop. If you go to many of our institutions now, our brothers want to read Quran from the beginning to the end of Ramadan. Taraweeh. Who told us to do that? Is it Sunnah? That when an imam leads people in Salatul Taraweeh, Salatul Taraweeh, he should read the entire Quran, one juz every day. Who told us to do that? Who sent us? I say it again. If anybody says it is Sunnah, let him bring the evidence. That the individual leading people must read every juz every day. Who taught us to do that? Read what is easy for the people. If it is a group of people where majority of them are people that can carry on with longer surah, longer chapter, carry on. If they are in between, then go in between. If they are people of Asham, then do Asham. as the people's ability can carry. Don't bring the people and compel them to your own status and condition. So, may Allah make us understand better than this.